Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Muskegon Area Sports Hall of Fame presents an upcoming ceremony. We get the preview. We talk about a fundraiser to help restore Northern Michigan's Woolsey Airport Terminal. Radio host and Encore Business Group's Ryan Walsh talks about his new book. The Out Loud Comedy Fest at the Comedy Project begins this Friday night. And Jazz in the Park opens tonight. We talk about that as well.
Let's all come together to celebrate Muskegon's athletic excellence. There's an upcoming induction ceremony to honor local sports legends and student athletes of the year. The 39th time comes right around the corner. Come the 6th of June, Tim Lipan on the line to, talk about these winners. I don't see Tim Lipan on the list.
No, not in the sports category anyway, but boy, do we have a lineup this year. It's very, very unique, Shelley.
Would you talk to me in general? This is the Muskegon Area Sports Hall of Fame, Muskegon's Athletic Excellence. Take me back to year one and why this needed to be formed.
Well, the Hall of Fame is 39 years old, and many communities do have sports Hall of Fames. Some schools have their own personal sports Hall of Fame. Ours was developed to honor sports legends along the lakeshore, about five counties from Ottawa County up north to Ludington, and certainly includes Muskegon and Owego and Oceana County and others. So just a way to honor these sports legends who've we've enjoyed watching over the years. And this year is no different, but it is a little bit unique in that we have some very different kinds of recipients this year, especially this Little League team. We've never had a Little League team before. When you go to sports Hall of Fames around the state, for instance, and look who's been inducted, it's usually individuals, sometimes teams, but I don't think a Little League team. And so we're doing that this year.
Very nice. Hey, you peak when you're, 12 years old. There you are. All right, so inducting a first Hall of Fame. First of all, is the event on the 6th open to the public?
Yes, the event is open to the public. It's Saturday, June 6th. Starts off with a social hour at 5 o'clock and dinner at around 6, and it'll be a full dinner. And it's at Fricano's Event Center in the downtown Muskegon area.
Nice. And in general, how many are inducted?
Usually we try to induct at least four folks per year. Then we also have two student athletes that we try to induct. And then there in the past, there's always been what we call the Gene Young Distinguished Service Award. And this goes to someone with just a long history of service in the area of sports and also the community. But this year, we even created a brand new award. It's called the Hall of Fame Legacy Award, and it honors folks who we somehow may have missed over the years, but certainly deserve recognition. And this year, that's Doris Sams. Now, let me ask you a question, Shelley.
Uh-oh.
Are you aware of the All-American Girls Baseball League?
I think I am. It's been around for a while, hasn't it?
Yes, and where it got famous was when they did the movie League of Their Own.
Yes.
Yeah, with Tom Hanks and Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna.
But it was formed here.
And in fact, Muskegon was in that league, and Doris Sams, who played for Muskegon in the All-American Girls Professional League, was the best player in the league, an all-star for the whole 4.5 years that the league existed. And somehow we missed her, but this year she's passed now, but this year we are going to honor her and any family that is left.
Thank you for that, and as it should be, keep that up. Give me another example of one of your winners for the year.
Well, another kind of unique thing is we're inducting an entire family. The Zirup family is from the small town of Hesperia, and Hesperia, Michigan, is legendary for their wrestling programs. And the dad started it. He was a standout wrestler at Ohio State. He had three boys. that became wrestlers at Hesperia. And Justin had a 260-0 perfect record, won 4 state titles. His brother won 2 state titles. And then his younger brother won 3 state championships in wrestling. So we're honoring Dad and the boys and the whole family.
So well-deserved, for sure. And, of course, as you mentioned, Student Athletes of the Year and more. Where do we find the whole list?
You can go to our website, MuskegonAreaSports.com. We also have a Facebook page. You just have to look up Muskegon Hall of Fame or Sports Hall of Fame, and you'll be able to find all kinds of information about past recipients and who we honor and why we honor them.
And I should have asked this at the beginning. How are they chosen? Do you have a special committee that does this?
Yeah. We have a board of directors for the Muskegon Area Sports Hall of Fame, and it's a pretty diverse group of folks who have some interest and knowledge of sports. There's a subcommittee of that board that will ultimately make recommendations, but anyone can nominate anyone they would like, and then that board, that committee will take a look at everything and make the appropriate decisions.
Next year, a big year, as number 40, there we are. And what's your timeline? So the awards are June 6th, when, and then you would open up applications for 2027?
We can take nominations at any time. People, there's a form on our website where people can nominate. But this year, we're focused on this group, and you can buy tickets are $50 to get in. It comes with a complete dinner. And you can go online to get those tickets at eventbrite.com. That's a website where lots of folks, lots of events sell their tickets.
Well, thanks for these inspiring winners that will be presented their award at the 2026 Muskegon Area Sports Hall of Fame with many firsts this year. Tim Lipan, thank you for you. We'll talk again.
Thank you. You're the best.
Are you familiar with the Save Woolsey Airport Terminal? We call it SWAT. It's a project comprised of Leadenhall Township government officials, private citizens, and wineries. Let's talk about what's happening. An event on June 4th, you're very involved with John Heakin, U event organizer, owner of Dune Bird Winery. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Tell me about your winery.
Yeah, our Dune Bird Winery is located about halfway between Leland, Michigan, and Northport. We've been a winery for several years. Did a brief time as a yak farm as well. We've in the past had offered a Woolsey Red in honor of the airport. We're now renewing that wine and using it as an opportunity to help and contribute to the restoration effort at Woolsey Airport.
Yes. Could you put that spokesperson hat on? Tell me what's happening with this airport terminal.
Yeah, the terminal has got a long history. Originally, it was a dairy farm, started in 1874. The structure was built then as a creamery for the dairy farm. And in 1935, it actually opened as an airport. The Woolsey family had converted it from a creamery to a live terminal airport. It was in honor of Clinton Woolsey, who had passed away on an air flight while a member of the U.S. Army in Argentina back in 1927. So the family constructed the airport in partnership with Leadenhall Township, and has operated as an airport ever since. Unfortunately, it's hasn't been that well taken care of. It's degraded over the years. The weather has taken its toll. And we're at the point now where we really have to do something.
And I guess looking at the most positive of the restoration, and let's just say when it's done, what will be its service to your community?
Well, again, as an ongoing airport for the community. There's also a number of community events that occur at the airport. One in particular is in early August. We have a fly-in pancake breakfast. Dozens of aircraft come in from all over the place, and typically thousands of people join and watch the planes come in, take off. Northport is also a dark sky community, so the terminal serves as kind of a viewing point for dark skies. There are also a number of just curious airport watchers that like to come by and watch the planes come in, land, and take off on this grass airstrip.
Nice. John, let's get into what's happening June 4th. You mentioned your Woolsey Red. You're bringing it back as a part of a fundraising opportunity. What's happening?
Yeah, so we have actually a launch party at the winery June 4th. There'll be music, light bites, really an effort to introduce the wine, but also to introduce the whole opportunity of saving the airport to the community for those who have not yet been familiar with it.
So June 4th, is there a time and specific exactly where I'm headed to your winery?
Yeah, so it's at the winery, Junebird, probably 4 miles north of Leland. The time, I'm not exactly sure what they've finally settled on, but I'm sure it'll be mid-afternoon into early evening.
I guess 5 o'clock somewhere, as they say, yet those dollars important to go to that iconic structure that's getting repairs and upgrades. Why the name Junebird?
Junebird, actually, the founders of the winery were passionate pilots themselves, so there's that kind of relationship as well. There actually had been a licensed airstrip on the Junebird Vineyard property as well at some point.
Cool.
So there's kind of that connection. We're also, you know, in the land of the dunes up here in Leelanau. So pretty much how the name came about.
Pretty much a beautiful country. So get ready for those to surround your beauty. Okay, June 4th, again, order a Woolsey Red and support this working on Woolsey iconic structure getting repairs. John Heekin, keep doing good things up north. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
Ryan Walsh, let's talk to you. Many hats you wear. Let's spread the word. Encore Business Group, Sports Intel, Indiana University, an introduction to sports memorabilia, a second show launch, auction house launched based on your second book. Where do we even start? Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Well, how about Hoosiers in the house? That's where we should start. I brought my Hoosiers water bottle for you here, Shelley.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, Indiana University. you know, you live here in Michigan long enough, you start acting somewhat, although we, you know, when they say go green or go blue, I just kind of say go IU.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Now, I was on campus a little sooner than you were.
Just by a couple years, okay. I think. Yeah.
I know your mom, as they say. Ryan, good. Yes, IU bleeds well here in our good state of Michigan. When did you get the radio bug? You've got a great voice.
Oh, I appreciate it. I got interviewed on your show and the Jethro show, The Sports Project with Steve Prodzik. Mm-hmm. And he actually asked me after about 45 minutes of doing the show with him impromptu, hey, would you want to do this? And I said, you can't think that I have talent for this after 45 minutes or so. But then I ended up filling in for him. I came on this show and, yeah, kind of got indoctrinated into the community a little bit and, yeah, ended up liking it. I like finding out about people's stories and interviewing people and all of that kind of stuff.
And staying with that hat on, are you mostly sports-oriented?
Yeah, sports, but the deeper side. Not kind of the regular hot take sports radio that's out there. It's more so a deep subject matters within sports and kind of the broader picture and deeper things that go into it.
And sports intel means?
So I was a former Central Intelligence Agency officer, and so we went off the branding for that. So yeah, sports intel is basically gathering the intel, gathering that deeper side of things rather than giving people the surface level stuff. Because what I noticed with the basic sports radio is it focuses on a swirl of negativity. Mm-hmm. And my show, I like to keep it positive, and then you're more likely to be positive in your own life. You have a very positive show too. If you swirl that negativity, it's going to reflect in your own life. If that's what you're listening to and taking in, then that's what's going to happen in your own life.
Thank you for that truth. And then the hat of Encore Business Group.
So we're a local third-party logistics company. I ended up partnering up with my cousin, and we do a lot of local brand fulfillment and partnership here. But we've been growing. We're in a 20,000 square foot warehouse now down by the airport, and have a lot of various partners and work with Amazon and various platforms. But we're also going into sports memorabilia here, because we've been doing consignments from people. We've been getting a lot of collections because of my background with the book and in sports memorabilia, and so we've decided to launch an auction house under those under that roof here.
All kinds of things coming together, sports, Encore, and author. All right, so an intro to sports memorabilia. Let's talk about this, and then I understand this auction house based on a book forthcoming.
Yeah, so the original book was basically based on the fact that in the sports memorabilia industry, it's very hard to truly find what your item's worth and get an honest opinion, because it's a lot. The industry as a whole is very much, I had a business leader say this to me one time, and I like the phrase, that it's viewed as cake versus candlelight. It's viewed as, let me cut a piece off and see what I can have, versus candlelight, where if you light somebody else's candle, then the light grows brighter and gets broader. If you view it as cake, then there's one piece, there's eight pieces total. You take a piece, it's gone. So that's kind of what the sports memorabilia industry has been. But if somebody has an item or has something of value, then somebody else maybe would try to buy it off of you and make their money on it, rather than help you sell it and get the value and kind of help you enjoy the process, because that's what I like with our consigners, is we get to work through the process. We get to hear these great stories of how they acquired these items and their connection to these items. And that's why the Encore branding works well, because we then build into Encore saying, hey, your item gets a second act now. It gets an encore. And so, the book started by just wanting to give education to people. And then now people come to me for that. So now we're going to provide some auction services for them.
Yeah, let's talk about how an auction service works, Ryan.
So the sports memorabilia industry and auction industry as a whole has really grown, especially since COVID, that had a lot of multiplication factors in our society. There's a lot of different sports memorabilia auction houses that are all online. Everything's online, and you consign the item to the auction house, deal with them that way. And there are bidders all across the world, millions and millions of bidders that are paying a high amount for game used items, rings, championship rings, signed items, all sorts of things that I always tell people, hey, you might not be interested in it, but it matters that other people are interested in it. That's how I always look at it. It's not whether or not I like it. It's whether or not it has a market.
Is that auction house launching yet?
Yes, it's launching we're basically in the process of launching it right now, and the first auction should be in late July. So keep an eye out for that. Our website, EncoreBusinessGroup.com, will have more information. But if you want to consign something, if you want to talk with me about the auction, feel free to visit the page, and I'd be happy to talk with you.
And how do I best hear you then?
So Sports Intel is on Monday nights on Jethro FM 7 to 9. We also go out via podcast, so that'll be available the next day on all the podcast platforms. And then Shane Graham's Extra Points with me, Ryan Walsh. We put him first because he's a 15-year NFL veteran. He's on Thursday with me, 7 to 9, same station, Jethro FM, and goes out on podcast as well. And then I fill in for Steve sometimes and kind of bounce around with that stuff.
And where does one find your book?
So Amazon's probably the best place. It's on there, an introduction to sports memorabilia. It's also on eBay as well, and that'll bring you to our eBay store, actually, with an Encore, if you want to check out all of our items there, too.
Do you personally own sports memorabilia?
I do. My collection has dwindled over time, but it's mainly focused on, I have a lot of stadium seating now, because I've kind of involved that in my house. So old seats from Tiger Stadium, and I have a bench from from Comerica Park and a pair of seats from Briggs Stadium that the Tigers used to play in. So I thought that was kind of cool, a connection to the game. You feel like you're sitting in the game, but you're in your living room there.
That is cool. Party at Ryan's house.
Yeah, come on over.
What was your degree at IU?
So I was a dual degree in the business school. I was entrepreneurship with a real estate emphasis and then finance, but I was a sports marketing and management minor there.
So you knew deep down that the minor would ultimately move to the major in your life. Ryan, your take-home message is?
I would say never stop believing. Never stop believing in yourself because, I mean, this journey, I never would have thought I was really capable of doing a lot of the things that I'm doing. And it's only because other people believed in me. Other people gave me the opportunity. You gave me the opportunity to come on your show and interview about my book. So did Steve. And now all of these things happened. And I didn't necessarily see that I was capable of that. But thankfully, other people did for me.
Look what you will one day do for others. All right, Ryan Walsh, stay the course. In general, is there a best way to find out more information?
So Encore Business Group's a great location. I'm also on LinkedIn and all the social media, both under Ryan Walsh and then the Sports Intel brand and Shane Graham's Extra Points. All have social media on basically all the platforms, so come check us out.
Okay, stay the course, Ryan. Take care. Congratulations thus far.
Thanks, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the Out Loud Comedy Festival. Stand-up, improv, and sketch comedy featuring all queer comedians. We talk to the best in the house. Thanks to you, Gwen Bagley. Good morning to you, Gwen.
Good morning.
Zach Jacobs in the house as well. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
All right. Comedy is alive and well in our community. Thank goodness for the Comedy Project and all of your talents as well. Zach, you a comedian, you a producer as well, and you, Gwen, I know, comedian, and last year doing great things. Let me start with you, Gwen. Are you excited for the weekend?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. June 5th and 6th is our show. There are two nights, three shows, three completely different lineups. And it's also a fundraiser for the Grand Rapids Trans Foundation. So not only are we going to get to highlight all of these amazing queer comics here in Grand Rapids and from around the Midwest, we're also going to have a big financial goal to donate to the Trans Foundation afterwards.
Mm-hmm. It's always nice to know there is a recipient on the other end. You got to keep the lights on. We know that. Right. But Zach, your side of the story?
Yeah. So I came to Gwen last year. We wanted to get a show together of all queer comedians. We noticed that there was kind of a lack of space for folks that were just in the LGBT community or folks that didn't feel they were in a safe space when they're out at open mics, you know. And we wanted to make sure, let's make a space for that. And it kind of just turned from let's get some folks together that we really love to, oh, there's an opportunity to also give back to the community and rope in some great fundraising. And I think we had everybody last year just immediately say, yes, we want to be on board. So that this year we were able to grow. We sold out last year. We're hoping to do that this year with three shows. We have a fourth show tonight, actually. We're taking over the Comedy Outlet Mondays over at the Comedy Project, just as a little preview show. But we had so many folks interested in performing that we were able to, you know, accommodate and get more stage time. And we're so happy about that.
That was great. Again, those proceeds going to a good cause. This, Gwen, we're talking stand-up, improv, and sketch comedy. Give me some definition here.
Yeah, so stand-up comedy is usually one person. They get up and they tell fun stories. Someone like Virginia Anzengruber,
who's sitting here with us right now.
You can't hear her, but she's here, so shout out to her. It's fun stories. Improv is all made up, I like to say. So it's like a play or like theater, and it is made up on the spot. It's new every time. And sketch is also written, but it's more theatrical, more like a little play.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Zach, let's talk, as we mentioned, there's a June 5 evening show, a June 6th evening, and then a June 6th, a late night too on that Saturday night, of course.
Yeah, so Friday and Saturday we're doing sort of variety shows. So we'll be having two hosts, Didi Shante, a fabulous drag queen host in town, as part of our Rumors cast, as well as her sister, Mia Cole, who will be hosting Saturday night. So those will be big variety shows, lots of stand-up, sketch, and improv. And then our late night show on Saturday is just a special kind of much more casual, homey-feeling show where we're bringing in our friend Zimone from the Trans Foundation to do a day-in-the-life improv bit. And then we have a bunch of really all-star improvisers in the queer community and around Grand Rapids. They're just going to put on a fun show, 10:30 at night, so it's a little easy to get loose and just hang out and be comfortable with everybody. So we're excited for just a little, snippet of improv and the best of the best in the area.
Do we see you on stage, Zach, for this?
Yes, I'll be doing a sketch on Saturday night, as well as hosting and helping out on the Saturday Late Show as we do some improv for folks.
Gwen, I'm looking for your name as well.
Yeah, so I'm an improviser, so my name is not on that bill, but I'm part of the Queer Comedy Group, as well as that Late Night Saturday Improv Show.
Yes, and you did say comedy.
Comedy with yes. A Q, yeah. Kind of a play on words.
Queer Comedy Quenchers.
Yeah.
Which you do other events throughout the year.
This group is really a special pop-up of people from a bunch of different groups. So it's people from the Comedy Project House Team, The Dispatch, The Denim Darlings, a local female improv troupe, and a few other groups as well. Coming mm-hmm. together for this special event. We really wanted to platform all queer performers, so this is an improv group of all queer performers. Yes.
And this is the only queer comedy festival in West Michigan?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's cool. Tell me about more on the Trans Foundation, and are you also in communication with the Pride Center?
Yeah, so last year we did our benefit for both the Trans Foundation and the Pride Center. As we moved into the next year, we thought, oh, we want to really make the most impact per organization. So as we move through our events, we're hoping to kind of single out organizations and help them out with the highest monetary impact we can do. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with the Pride Center in the past. This year, we wanted to solely focus on the Trans Foundation, really highlighting especially the way trans lives are impacted right now in this country. A lot of folks are not feeling safe, both in the sense of just general social feels, but also in a lot of ways, their governments are not supporting them and are actively introducing anti-trans bills. So being able to support a local organization that is both supporting folks socially, but also giving monetary donations, just being able to be that social support to folks to level that playing field is really awesome. So that's our biggest impact, and we're hoping to continue working with the Pride Center as well as we move through events in the future.
Yes, I know last year you did raise over $1,500 in support of the Grand Rapids Trans Foundation. So mm-hmm. there we are. What, give me more of an evening flair, Gwen. Are the food and drink involved here?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Comedy Project is our host, and they're a great partner of ours as well. And so they serve, some snacks and some drinks. We have two special drinks this year with those funds also going to the Grand Rapids Trans Foundation. There's a fun blue cocktail and then a lavender lemonade, which is NA. So something really for everybody. We're hoping with, the food and the drink and the... It's going to be really fun. We have a raffle with items from local businesses. We have some amazing sponsors we've been highlighting on socials. We also have some merch to sell. And so we're hoping with all of that combined, we'll raise $5,000 between paying our comedians and the Trans Foundation directly.
Nice. How does one get involved into improv, Gwen? Because it's not like you're learning your lines the night before.
No. For me, it looked like classes. I honestly had never heard of improv comedy until I went to a show at the Comedy Project. Or maybe I heard of it, but I didn't really know. So taking classes, and I just found that there was this amazing community there. These people who are so talented and smart and engaged all over Grand Rapids. Honestly, they're doctors and lawyers and your grocery store clerk and everybody, right? And so I started it, and I loved what was happening, and I loved the way it frees up your brain to think differently. So I kept taking classes and then started performing at shows locally and then festivals around Michigan.
Yes. What's your background, Zach?
Yeah, I actually come from higher ed. I worked at Grand Valley here for about 7 years. Since then, I kind of took a departure just to kind of explore and see what career options, what was out there. But I met Gwen doing improv at the Comedy Project about 3 years ago. We were both taking classes, going to shows, and naturally connected at different points and ended up connecting on stage, performing together at different points, doing jams. And I think that's where we really made this connection of like, oh, hey, we're queer people doing improv. What kind of spaces do we feel good in? And what kind of folks do we enjoy performing with? And we found, of course, performing with each other is really great, but also finding folks that are like-minded and just feel that kind of freedom and vulnerability on stage was really important. So coming from a bunch of different education arts backgrounds, but I really find home in comedy.
Yes. And staying with you, Zach, back to the shows. I mean, you've got, at least 10, 9, 8 performers on stage? Will it go fairly quickly as far as boom, boom, boom?
It's we're giving everybody enough stage time to really explore their sets. We're hoping to give everybody about 10 minutes. I was going to say a lot of open mics, you're looking at 5 to 7 minutes. So it's really quick, but we're really wanting people to feel comfortable and be able to explore their material, especially if they're looking at new material they didn't feel comfortable sharing in other spaces. But we're looking at about 10 minutes. So it's going to be a little bit of a long night, but also we want to give everybody what they're paying for and give them a really enjoyable night that we really hung on to for the whole year after last year. It was something that just like we had such a sense of joy and just amazement for the months after that having three of those in a row is going to be one exhausting, but also just extremely impactful and powerful, I think.
And Gwen, the Comedy Project, you're located off of Leonard, correct?
Yeah, so the Comedy Project is off of Leonard. It's over by the Mitten Brewing.
Yes, which is a nice place in
it
itself.
It is nice.
The whole West Side certainly growing, as they say. Are most of the entertainers from West Michigan?
Yeah, we're intentionally local. So yes. Most of the people on our lineup are from Grand Rapids or from the surrounding area. We're excited to have a few people from, you know, Chicago and Ann Arbor and Detroit, but mostly local.
And remind me what sketch comedy is.
Sketch comedy is written comedy, so it could be musical. It could be a couple people doing kind of a skit together. Might be another comedy. People won't like that I said that, but that's what it is. Yeah, that's sketch.
Well, yep, it's live, so you said it.
Oh, I know.
It's all good.
I stand by it.
What else do we need to know, Zach?
I think just this is a really great celebration of queer joy. I think that's the thing that really drives us in what we do and has really gotten a lot of folks on board overall. I think every person, for the most part, we've reached out to either sponsorship or performing has said yes or no, but I really wish I could be a part of this, which is really validating to us. And it's sometimes very overwhelming to realize, Oh, people really love this mission and really want to be on board. So it's really grown in this way that we get to see it take off with, you know, amazing comedians on stage and just people that want to keep helping us out in our mission.
And is there an ensemble clown workshop that's led as well?
Yes, there is. That ensemble clown is kind of, it's a French thing. So it's about vulnerability on stage and how do you engage with each other in the audience and be your real self up there in front of everybody. It's going to be really fun. It has nothing to do with the red nose.
Okay, that's what I was going.
It's really different. It's going to be super fun. Duncan Young and Elise Wilson coming in from Australia, not to do the workshop, but coincidentally, the time is
the
same.
It's their first thing they're doing.
That's wonderful. What do you leave us with, Gwen?
Honestly, I hope that people who need somewhere to be happy and experience some joy will come out. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Out Loud, it's a comedy fest right around the corner. Give me details one more time, please.
Yeah, June 5th and 6th, shows at 7 p.m. at the Comedy Project, Grand Rapids, and also 10:30, that improv show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All good. Thank you all. As they say, I don't think we say break a leg, just enjoy your time, right? Okay, yes, break a leg. Out Loud Comedy, West Michigan's only queer comedy fest, returning with an expanded show lineup to support GR Trans Foundation. Thank you, Gwen and Zach.
Thank you.
It's time for Jazz in the Park, back for a 26th season. You have an evening of, well, wonderful weather, if you like, 70s, 80s, and more. The sun will start to set, the jazz will play, and you, Shannon Dennison, will talk about it now and more. Good morning to you, Shannon.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
All right. You have many hats on with your financial business. You an author. We'll get you back for that. But now Jazz in the Park is back. How exciting is this?
This is so exciting. We are in our 26th year of providing free concerts all summer long. And this year, we kick it off tonight with Jazz in the Park. We always feature a high school jazz band. Tonight, we start out with East Kentwood High School Jazz Band. And we have the MSBOA District All-Star Jazz Band.
Right.
So we're starting it off with youth, and we're excited to see everybody out there.
Not to put you on the spot, MSBOA?
Michigan State Band of
something.
America.
Okay, that's good. All right, but youth.
Yes.
Why do you start it off with youth?
Well, that's part of our mission. Our mission is to advance, uphold, and sustain live jazz through promotion, performance, and education. And education is a key component of what we strive to do at, with the Jazz Society. And tonight we're actually going to be announcing two of our scholarship winners. We're presenting $2,000, so $1,000 each for a couple of very lucky scholarship recipients.
Do they know?
I believe they do. We talked about it over the weekend. I believe they do.
Yeah, then you want them to be there and at least know about it. Well, big picture, each Monday night, and we know our community comes together for this incredible live jazz connection, summer fun. I mean, you've had up to 1,200 guests weekly. Where exactly are we going?
So we're going to Millennium Park. It's at the Meadows, Sakia Meadows, and we are in the on the hill there. And everybody is welcome to bring their chairs or blankets. You can bring food. You can bring drinks. We do have a couple food vendors there, Cool Breeze and the Coney Girl. And we're definitely opening up for a few more food vendors as well.
Yes. What times are we thinking?
We start 6:30 to 8:30. And if there is ever an event where it might not happen because of the weather, we will be announcing that by 3:30. And you can find that information on our Facebook site and on our website as well.
Good. I know you have some rain dates in August, but that's not until August, not to rush as well. And there's a pass the hat opportunity.
Definitely. These costs, these concerts certainly cost money. And I think our budget for the summer series, it's about $30,000 to put the whole thing on. So yeah, 10 concerts, we'll pass the hat around. We welcome cash. We will have a Venmo and PayPal QR codes if that's easier for people. But definitely need and welcome not only community support, but sponsors as well. Open for business sponsorships in corporate. We certainly have room for that.
Yes. As, again, those dollars do help with you know, paying it forward to your musicians and more. All right, let's do some lineup discussion. Again, tonight you can't beat the kids, but every Monday night you offer an opportunity to see the best.
Yeah, and jazz really encompasses a huge variety of different kinds of music. So there's lots of different genres when you talk about jazz. So starting it out with the East Kentwood High School and MSBOA All-Stars. Next week, June 8th, it's the Jeff Shoup Quartet. Mm-hmm. Followed by a great all-star June 15th Jordan Van Hemmert band. And this is one of our very own board members. And he's got some incredible musicians with him. Terrell Stafford, Lewis Nash, Jocelyn Gould, Mickey Yamanaka, and possibly Rodney Whitaker. Very stellar performers, a lot from the MSU education line there. Then June 22nd, we've got some Brazilian influences, Group IA. Then we have a big band, June 29th, Big Band Nouveau. A great new group to add, Tom Allport Band. That's July 6th. We're not taking any time off like we typically do because July 4th is a full 2 days before July 6th on a Monday. So we're going to keep continuing on with the Tom Allport Band. July 13th, we have Eddie Curtis, and he's doing a tribute to Chet Baker with his group. Moving on to July 20th, Third Coast Swing, and that's some Django Reinhardt influence. You got some of that going on. Sonny Wilkinson Quartet on July 27th, and then we close it out August 3rd with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, with two rain dates after that, just in case we need them.
All right, Shannon Dennison, will CDs and other swag be available from time to time?
Yeah, definitely. Each band has their own CDs. And then for swag, we have this opportunity for also nonprofits, local nonprofits, for free to give them some leverage. And a lot of times they'll bring their own swag. So we have different themes, and that's also open for future concert events. We encourage nonprofits to go look to see what theme they might fit under, whether it's youth advocacy or family champions, those kind of things. And they will be welcome to have a free table and just to talk, engage the community with what their missions are.
Yeah, that's the nonprofit groups moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And contact you for that, because there's no charge to them?
There's no charge to them for that. So, yes, just there's information on the website, and contact us.
And it's a win-win to obviously hear a free performance after you've put a dollar in the hat, and then certainly get to get your word out. Again, this all part of a super committee. Tell me more about the West Michigan Jazz Society. Yes, summertime is wonderful, but lots happens throughout the year.
That's true. We just announced our Musician of the Year, Sherry Lynn Hagen, and we'll be honoring her with a special celebration probably in late September. And then we also do different community collaborations. Upcoming on Juneteenth, we're collaborating with Camp Blodgett. We're going to have a concert out there, and we have a special access for discount to that show for our members. So and that's going to be a GRJO septet. So some special members from that group will be coming out to perform our Juneteenth collaboration event with Camp Blodgett. And then we offer several concerts throughout the year. We just wrapped up a series at Fountain Street Church, and this was our Tuesday night at the Fountain, which was really kind of a coming home event, actually, because it's been 40 years since Betty Forrest founded the West Michigan Jazz Society, and that happened as a result of a concert. It was a Stan Getz concert at Fountain Street Church, which was very poorly attended. And she, being the wife of Jimmy Forrest, a very famous jazz musician, said, "This is not acceptable," and said, "We need to start a West Michigan Jazz Society." And that's what we did. So it's a really a full circle moment. We expect to continue doing those concerts in the fall at Fountain Street. They are a wonderful community partner for us and many other nonprofits.
Yes. And Shannon, why your personal interest, you and your families?
Oh, we've loved jazz for a long, long time. And when jazz was at the zoo and our family was young, it was a great place to bring the kids and bring some snacks and play and expose them to good music. And I certainly know really well now that jazz isn't only something enjoyable to listen to, but it's good for your health. You know, it helps you relax. It gets that blood pressure down. And it's just a way to connect with people and to really connect to the history of this great American music that jazz is.
Yes. And is the West Michigan Jazz Society, are you membership driven?
We are membership driven. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without our members. So we have a very, very reasonable membership fees. It's $35 for a single, $50 for a couple. And we certainly take donations. And we have special memberships for jazz musicians as well, because again, we want to promote jazz on all levels. So we appreciate our members, and we appreciate everybody that wants to support us financially.
Wonderful. All right, details then for tonight, where you kick off. Yay.
Details for tonight. Come to Millennium Park at Sekia Meadows and come a little early so you can get yourself set up in a nice place to park. And you can bring your chairs, you can bring snacks, your coolers, and well-behaved dogs on leashes. Yes, you can bring them too. And we will be kicking off at 6:30, and it goes from 6:30 to 8:30. Bring a few dollars or your phone so you can make a donation. We really appreciate that too.
Wonderful. All the lineup and more found where, please?
At wmischjazz.org.
All right. Going up a jazz orchestra going out with their timely work when it comes to their work on August 3rd. But until then, we've got June 1st. Shannon Dennison, thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks for listening. Your inspiration for the day, according to John Green, if you don't imagine, nothing ever happens at all. So close your eyes and imagine something today. Dream big. Hope you enjoyed the show. Take care.